Okay, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. All through the Bible, it teaches us a lot of lessons about faith. And that there's one thing, there's a secret to great faith. And we'll start finding it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the secret to great faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why would that be the secret to great faith? Because He is the author of faith. It's His faith that we're using. We're putting our faith in Him, and it's His faith that we're using. Now, we're going to contrast a couple things. The hearing of faith and the works of the law. They're total opposite. The hearing of faith and the works of law. There's law is self-effort. Always remember John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. So we just put our trust in Him, put our faith in Him. We ask in His name, He does the doing. We don't have to be hot rods. We don't have to be super faith heroes. He's the hero. He's the hot rod. We just do what He tells us to do, and He gets it done. There's no self-effort in faith. There is no self-effort in faith. If you're putting your effort into the faith, it's you and not Him. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. When people hear the gospel of Jesus, faith is imparted and healing flows. Miracles happen. Faith happens. The secret to your miracle, does it lie in long prayers, fasting, and good works? Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 29. He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, always, always, always remember when you're reading the Bible, make sure who's talking, who they're talking to, what side of the cross it's being set on. What side of the cross it's being set on. This happened before the cross. Now here's the thing. People take this one verse and conclude that the secret to spiritual power is fasting. In the original Greek, the word fasting does not appear in that verse. A lot of things that are different from the original, what Jesus said. But here's the thing. If it was really about how much time you spend fasting and how much time you spend praying, those are good things. Don't get me wrong, those are good things. But then it would leave a man with the idea that he can somehow qualify for God's holiness by his efforts. That he can somehow qualify for God's righteousness by his own efforts. And we know that's not true. We know that is absolutely 100% not true. You cannot qualify for anything of God by your own efforts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent of time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You know, in the original Greek, that word fasting does not appear there either. The word fasting does not appear there. Now, here's the thing. Early on, I was reading all these books about these really popular preachers, people that have been doing miracles, people that have been doing a lot of really interesting things. So I wanted to know how they were doing those. So I started studying those. I'd buy their books and read those books. And they'd say, well, we did the time, basically. And so, while everybody was playing, we was praying. While everybody was eating, we were feasting, we were fasting. While everybody was doing all this fun stuff, we were shut away doing the things that we needed to do. And we did the time. Like they earned it. You know, I walked away there thinking that, man, I got to do something to earn this anointing. How can you earn the anointing? You can't. But what they did was a good thing, because what they did is they got a part and they prayed a lot, and that's a really good thing. They got a part and they fasted, and it got their spirit sensitized to the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. But it's still Jesus. It's still Jesus doing the work. And it's still the word of faith. Now look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Are you twisting God's arm? Are you really able to twist God's arm by your good works? I knew a guy that fasted. He'd fasted a long time, and he'd run around and he would show everybody how miserable he looked. He wouldn't shave and he wouldn't comb his hair. He just looked terrible, and he wanted everybody to see how terrible he looked. I thought, geez, why don't you just go enjoy your self-torture somewhere else? I'm not interested in it. But are you really going to twist God's arm? See, it's got to be all about His sacrifice. By virtue of Jesus, all of God's blessings and His miracle-working power are already yours when you believe in His Son. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is it going to be by good works, or is it going to be by the hearing of faith? It's always going to be by the hearing of faith. You know, whenever somebody heard something about Jesus and they put what they heard into action, things would change. You know the woman with the issue of blood? She decided that if she touched just the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. How did she come up with that idea? She heard that people were touching his garments and they were getting healed. She heard about it. And she believed it. So then she put action to what she believed in her heart and she ran down there. Now you got to understand this. This woman had wasted, she had spent all of her money on doctors, on these physicians. They couldn't make her better. It was against the law for her to come into contact with the man, much less the ruler of the synagogue, much less any scribes and Pharisees. I mean, it was bad enough for her to come in contact with the man, but if she came in contact with scribes and Pharisees, that would surely get her in trouble, big trouble, and the ruler of the synagogue. That would really get her strung up. Jesus was surrounded by all those people. And not only did she have to get close to him, she had to bump into some of them to get to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. You know what she did? She believed in her heart, and she took what she believed, and she drew a red line in the sand, and she said, I don't care what happens. I'm getting my healing. I don't care what perils I don't care how bad it might look. I'm going to do what I heard, and I'm going to get what I'm going to get. And she got her healing. She went down there, and she touched him in his garment. You know, she didn't get in trouble. See how good God is? Sometimes our step of faith may seem like a real giant leap. See, sometimes our step of faith may go against absolutely everything that anybody ever told us. Sometimes our step of faith may go against what everybody else is doing. But if you hear from God, and you know that you know that you know in your heart, then you take that step of faith and you watch Him shine in your life. Now she could have said, you know, I believe he could heal me if I could get down there and touch the hem of his garment without touching any of them important people. You know, she could have even said, you know, I'll wait until there's nobody else around. She would have missed out. Too many people miss out waiting on the perfect time. Did you know there's never what we would call a perfect time to step out in faith? But every time to step out in faith is a perfect time. Did you get that? And if we're waiting for everything that we think needs to be in order to line up to take a step of faith, we're not going to end up taking that step of faith. Because none of that stuff is ever going to come in line. None of that stuff will ever be perfect. But if we just go ahead and step out, God will make that perfect. He'll make that step of faith perfect. And as long as we focus on Jesus, it's going to work out. And here's the good news. Even if you make a mistake and you start sinking, you can still cry out to Jesus to save you, and he'll still get the job done. That's grace. Here's the thing. When you see Jesus in His grace, He sees you in your faith. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That's pretty interesting. You know, the really neat thing about this thing is this guy, he had himself located. He knew where he was. He knew who he was. He knew who Jesus was. He had heard about Jesus healing people. He knew he had power in his words. Now here's the thing. There was a lot of people that would say, Jesus is the son of David. And he only did that if you were a true Hebrew. This guy knew who he was. He went up to Jesus and he said, I'm not worthy that you should even come into my house, but speak your word only. You know something? This guy had full faith in the grace of Jesus. Have you ever wondered how somebody like that could have full faith in that grace? He was a centurion. You know, this guy, he wasn't in the religious circles. He obviously wasn't going to the temple worship every Sabbath day. He obviously wasn't doing all the things that all the religious people were doing. He wasn't even a Hebrew. He wasn't a Jew. What was the big ticket to this guy's faith? Well, there's a couple things there. Number one, he hadn't come in contact with the law. The religious mafia hadn't gotten to him. Number two, he believed in the grace and mercy of God. See, if we can believe in the grace and mercy of God and believe that He will do what He said, instead of believing that He can. We all know that He can do stuff. There are people that aren't born again believe that God can do big things. A lot of people believe that God can do great things. A huge portion of the church have a hard time believing that He will do great things. Remember, the leper jumped out from behind the rock, or from under the rock, and said, Jesus, I believe you can heal me, if you will. And Jesus reached out his hand and said, I will. Do you know what he did? He just showed what his will is for all people right there. His will is for us to be healed. His will is for us to be whole. His will is for us to live a life of liberty. His will is for us to be prospered. It's not enough to just believe that God can, but we need to believe that He will. You need to have faith in your faith, or faith in God's love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith with works by love. See, when we hear the word of faith, when we hear what Jesus has done for us, when we hear what He did for us on the cross and His death, burial, and His resurrection, when we hear about the new creation realities, when we hear about those things, it causes faith to happen to us because we see Him in His grace. See, faith is something that actually happens to you. There are a lot of people running around saying that faith is something that we do, but faith is a response to something that happened to us. When we believe in His grace, see what He did for us, and that hits our heart, that causes us to have action, which is our faith in motion, because we believe in His grace. See, this is the opposite of what gets told a lot of times. A lot of times you'll hear people preach on faith and they say, okay, now here's five things that you're going to have to do to operate in this great faith. And if you do these five things, you'll be a major faith warrior. Really? I even had a little timer. They said, if you pray for 1 hour a day, so I'd sit there and I'd pray and look at the timer. And I'd pray some more and I'd look at the timer. I said, well, I got 5 minutes down. And I'd pray some more and I'd fall asleep. How does faith happen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Also, if you look in Peter, it tells us how by His stripes you were healed. Now here's the thing. You don't confess His word to become what His word says. You confess His word because you are what His word says. See, you already are healed. So you confess His word because you are. That way you're fighting from victory ground. A lot of people are trying to confess His word to become. So then that tells me they don't believe that He did what He said He did. Because they're trying to convince themselves Evidently, they're trying to twist God's arm. I actually had a guy say that one time, a preacher. Said, you confess the word of God long enough, God's going to have to do something. Really? How long do you got to do that? You know, you're not going to change God. You're not going to twist God's arm. You're not going to bend him to the left. You're not going to bend him to the right. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we're doing is we're changing up. Now, if you'll take the attitude that you're taking your position in Christ and you're confessing what His Word says about you, because that's who you are already, then things are going to change for you. But if you're confessing His Word because you're trying to get to the place that He says you already are, you're not going to get there. You're going to wear out. You'll get frustrated and you'll give up. But if you find what His Word says about you, and you take your position in that, and you confess His Word because that's what His Word says you are, and you know where you are, you know who you are, then things get different for you. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's His blood, and His blood alone, that takes away your sin. There's an idea that if you confess your sins, this is after you're born again, and there's a whole bunch of Christians that get mad about this. They're convinced that it's the act of confession that cleanses you from sin. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from sin, period. And they said, well, what about 1 John 1:9? I said, John was preaching to Gnostic people, not Christians. And if you look at 1 John 1:7, you'll understand this. And he said, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. How do they walk in the light? Get born again. They're in the light. Romans chapter 8. Verse 32, we'll finish with this one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's already given you all things with Christ Jesus. How in the world are you going to earn something that He's already given you? If I gave you a $100 bill, put it on the chair right next to you, and you said, okay, I'm going to go fast and pray so I can receive that $100 bill. I'm going to look at you like you're an idiot. I'm a man. I'm not God. But God freely puts things in front of us, and we got people saying, okay, I'm going to go fast and pray so I can receive it. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with fasting and prayer, because I'm not. They're valuable things. They're great things. But you're not going to earn anything from God. You can literally thank your way into answered prayers. You can thank your way into miracles. You know, Jesus thanked God for hearing his prayers, and Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus thanked God for a sack lunch, and he fed thousands of people. Now, Jesus would have said, okay, we got this sack lunch. We need to go fast and pray for a week, and then we can feed all these people. That'd be different, but that's not what he did, now is it? He thanked God for providing. He thanked God for what he had, and look what happened. All those people got fed. And you know, God did more. He fed more people with less. You know, he fed more people with a smaller lunch than he did a bigger lunch. Did you know that? God doesn't operate on the same scale we do. But he did give us some clues. Thankfulness is one way. Hearing the word of faith is the main way. He told us that the just shall live by faith. And the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. That means staying in the New Testament, in the epistles, seeing what Jesus did for you. Look at these new creation realities. Looking at what Jesus said you could do. And watch faith happen in your heart. It's a fun adventure. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us daily, taking care of us. We thank you for Jesus, our high priest, who causes us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. And Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.